In a moment, we're going to look at verse 18, but just a little bit of review here. Tonight, we're going to look at the third study in our series on our devotional life. And we're going to look tonight at Christian growth and how to read the Bible for personal profit. And a lot of what we've looked at in the past has been the reasons we should be having our devotion. And, one of the things is because we want to, first and foremost, bring glory to God. And we want to know God. And we want to know Him better. How else do you learn about somebody without communicating to them and with them? So we talked about the importance of our devotional life and why it is vital for us. It's our spiritual nourishment. It's our connection to heaven. So the next few weeks are going to be a little bit practical. Maybe these things will work for you. Maybe they won't. Maybe you have something that is already working, and I don't want to reinvent the wheel for you. If you have a devotional schedule and routine that works for you, great. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I think it should be all of our desires to want to be closer to the Lord and love Him more. But I want to ask a couple of questions before we get started. Have you ever read the Bible and received little or nothing from it? Has that ever happened to you? I think it's happened to all of us. You know, you've read your Bible, you've closed your Bible, and you're trying to think about what you just read, and you really can't recall much of what you just read. That can happen. That does happen. That should not happen. It's not a good thing. What happens if your boss was talking to you and he was giving you really important instructions and you were like, pay attention, he would say. We had our grandson here for a little more than a week, and we talked a lot to Noah, and I don't think Noah heard about 80% of what we said, you know. And it happens. But, how sad that is when we're reading the Bible. How do we avoid this? You know, even if we find a quiet place, even if there's no one in the house, even if there's no distractions, what is still a distraction? Our mind goes places. How do we avoid this? I hope the following procedures can be helpful in making our devotional reading more rewarding. Okay? First off, the very first thing we should do before we open the Bible is we should pray before reading. Okay? And we should ask God to help us, listen carefully, hear. Okay? Ask God to help us see. And ask God to help us understand His message. Now, it's wrong to open the Bible and say, Lord, speak to me. Because every time you open the Bible, He is speaking to you. So, it's better for us to say, Lord, help me to hear You. Help me to see You. Help me to understand. Look at Psalm 119, verse 18. The Bible says, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Isn't that wonderful? Lord, open my eyes. I want to see these things with the eye of faith. When I open your word, I want to see You. I want to see what you're talking about. I want to understand. Turn to Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Verse 15. Matthew 11:15. He that hath ears to hear, let him, what? Hear. So Lord, open my ears. Open my eyes. and then help me to understand what I'm reading. Okay? And you know, I want to see, I want to hear. So this is vital. So even before we read one word of the pages of Scripture, pray and ask God, Lord, help me. Help me to hear You and help me to see You. And then when I hear You, help me to understand what I'm saying. Okay? Simple, but sometimes we don't pray that prayer. And it's a prayer I think that we should pray, you know, honestly and consistently every time we open the Word. Number two, open to Luke 4. And I want to say a few things before I read verse 16 following. But read a passage of Scripture, such as a paragraph or maybe a chapter. Read it straight through so as to get an overall view of it. Very early in Jesus' ministry, in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 16, we find Him in a synagogue. And it says, as He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up, and as His custom was, isn't it wonderful? The Lord found Himself every Sabbath day in the synagogue. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto Him the book of the prophet Isaiah, or Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He hath anointed Me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent Me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He closed the book, He gave it to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all of them that were in the synagogue were fastened upon Him. And He began to say unto them, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears. So the Lord gets up and He reads the passage from Isaiah. And He reads it without comment. And He sits down and He made them think about what He just read. And then He says these words, this day, today, what you heard is now fulfilled. Of course, that's my interpretation of that. So read and then meditate and think about it. Think about it for a while. Think about it for a while. And then, number three, reread the passage. Remember, I've said before in this study, quantity is not as important as quality. I have nothing against reading through the Bible in a year. But I don't know if that's necessarily good for our devotions. Because when you read through the Bible, unless you have lots of time to study, usually those average about 3 chapters a day. That's a lot to study. That's a lot to take in. I'm not against that. I think it's good that we do that. But I don't think that should be our devotional time, is what I'm saying. So quality is more important than quantity. So reread the passage, number three. Study it so as to discover and understand its words, teachings, and instructions. Now, as time allows, now remember, we've talked about this a lot in this study. This all takes time. And we have to find time. If we really want to grow in our faith, we have to find the time to spend with God. As time allows, look up cross references. Maybe you have a study Bible. A study Bible is a great tool, okay? And a good study Bible. And if you don't know what a good one is, let me know and we can talk. But maybe at the end of this, I'll put out a list of some good references and whatnot. But as time allows, look up cross references. Consult a dictionary for unfamiliar words and learn the meaning of difficult passages from trusted commentaries. Look up 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Now, if you're old-fashioned, you might want a book to open up. But if you're not so old-fashioned, friends, there are literally hundreds of apps and online tools that we could use for Bible study. I have an app on my phone, and it's called, the Blue Letter Bible. And the Blue Letter Bible has wonderful word studies and cross-references right on a little app. So you can look up the meaning of every word, and it gives you Strong's and Thayer's information and whatnot. So excellent tool to use, okay? And so as time allows, look up cross-references, consult the dictionary, and learn meaning of difficult passages from trusted commentaries. I still am finding words in my... And what I usually do, I have a wide margin Bible all the way around. What I usually do if I find an unfamiliar word, underline it and put the meaning of it alongside. And I'm still finding words that, as I go through, that I've missed, you know, various times. What does that word mean? Because although we love the King James Bible, we don't speak King James English. And sometimes we come across words that we don't understand. You know, how many times have you told your children that there's a superfluity of naughtiness going on in this house? I mean, we don't speak that way anymore, you know, but we must, you know, understand what it means. If you don't understand what a word means, look it up. Look it up, you know, you'll find the meaning so that you understand it. 2 Timothy 2:15, what is the very first word? Study. I don't go to school anymore. Well, we're all disciples. Study. Why? To show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, sometimes you talk to Christians who have been Christians a long time. They don't understand some basic doctrine and some basic meaning of things. And boy, that's a shame. And that shouldn't be that way. You know, I know we all grow at various paces and at various times. There's more growth than others. But the Bible is a book, yes, that is meant to be read, but it's also a book that is meant to be studied. Okay? And, of course, applied. So pray before you read. Read a passage, clear through, kind of in your mind, formulate what it's trying to say. Reread that passage. Look up difficult words, you know, and maybe some cross-references. And again, there's lots of ways we can do this. And then reread the passage with your personal needs or desires in mind. Acts 17. Remember, friends, these devotions are for you. They're for your growth. You're not doing your devotions for anyone else. You're doing them for you, for your personal growth. So, a lot of times, some of my personal devotion makes my way into my messages, but I don't do my personal devotions for messages. You understand what I'm saying? It's for me personally. And so Acts 17:11, very familiar. These were more noble. Who are these? The Bereans. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. So we need to be like the Bereans and searching the Scriptures and studying and checking out what we hear and not believing every, you know, let me qualify this. I'm not against listening to good messages online. There's some messages you shouldn't listen to online. There's some people you shouldn't listen to online. There's some independent fundamental Baptists you should run away from online. Okay? But there's good things out there. But study everything. Check it out. Check out what you hear. And get into the Word. Because we need to be growing our own faith. So reread the passage with your personal needs and desires in mind. Select a word or a phrase or a clause that stands out or grabs your attention. God speaks to us through His Word this way. Look at Matthew 5:18. The Bible says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled." How much of the Bible is important? All of it. Okay? How much of the Bible is profitable for us? Not a trick question. All of it. How much of the Bible is about us? Not all of it. Okay? It's not all about it, us. Some of it is about Israel. Some of it is about, you know. I just finished reading through the book of Ezekiel. Okay? Tough read. Okay? Tough read. You know, there's prophecies in there that, you know, a lot of times recording in my journal, I had to say, "Lord, I don't fully understand all this, you know, but I'm glad I'm not Moab, you know." But in reading it, I came to the very last verse. And in the very last verse, just part of that verse, it says this: "And the name of that city from that day shall be the Lord is there." And that phrase just hit me. That phrase hit me so much. This was this past Monday. I had to share it with the deacons and the staff. And that word means Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. There's coming a day when the Lord Jesus Himself will rule and reign and be in Jerusalem. And we'll be able to, we'll be there with Him. And in the midst of all of that turmoil in Ezekiel and the valley of dry bones and all these bones coming together and flesh going on them and them getting up and walking and all these visions of God's glory that I've heard people say, "See, there's proof there was UFOs. Ezekiel recorded it." I mean, come on. It's the glory of God. And all those difficult things, it ends with the Lord's coming back. And He's going to rule and He's going to be right here. And you know, that stuck with me that day. Just one little phrase. And it stuck with me that day. And God often speaks to us this way. Just little phrases. And gives us something to meditate on all day long. How many of you have a favorite meal? Okay? We all have a favorite meal? No? Some of you don't have a favorite meal? Some of you just like food. Okay. All right. You know, how many times do you like to eat your favorite meal? As much as you can. You know, go back to passages that you're familiar with and get something out of it again and fresh and chew on it. And, you know, I mean, I would eat bacon every day if I could. I mean, I could, but I shouldn't, you know, but And anything wrapped in bacon. Bacon is duct tape for food, so just remember that. But select that word. Number six, think how this impressive part of the passage relates to your personal life or needs. Record it in the journal. How many of you keep a journal? Prayer or Bible journal? Devotional journal. Okay, a few of you do. I have been doing it for many, many years, and it's great sometimes when you have a little extra time to go back and read through them and see how the Lord has been working. But it's good to do this. Turn to Daniel 9. This passage is exciting. Daniel chapter 9. So think about this impressive part of the passage that relates to your personal life or needs. Look at Daniel 9, verse 1. "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understand by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem." And then it goes on to say, "I set my face unto the Lord to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. So Daniel, one day in his time with the Lord, he's reading from the scroll of Jeremiah. And he reads a prophecy in Jeremiah that says 70 years Israel will be in captivity, and I'll visit you again and bring you back. So Daniel says, Now I'm only pulling numbers out of the air. I don't know these numbers for sure. But I was 12 when I came here, and I'm almost 82. That's 70 years. God's getting ready to do something. And he got excited, and he started praying. Look where he was reading. Look at Jeremiah 25. Maybe you have a cross-reference Bible, and it should lead you to two passages. Jeremiah 25, 11 and 12 says, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. It shall come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquity in the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation." And then look up chapter 29 of Jeremiah. Verse 10, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good toward you, and in causing you to return to this place." I'm sure that Daniel brought his scrolls, talked to Cyrus, see that he was mentioned there, and all of this, you know, led to God beginning to work again. And we don't have any record of Daniel going back with the during the post-Elixic time. We don't have any record of him going back. Maybe he was too elderly, but he sure did pray, and he sure did get the wheels in motion, and he got excited because God spoke to him through three verses. Now, they didn't have chapters and verses in those days. Okay, that didn't come till much later. The scroll of Isaiah was the scroll of Isaiah. How many of you have been to Israel? Did you see the scroll of Isaiah when you were there? There's a shrine to the scroll of Isaiah. And the whole scroll of Isaiah unrolled, literally, will go around at least the middle section of this auditorium. Right. It's a facsimile, but it's the size of it. And it's huge. Now, that's just one, you know. So you imagine carrying your, 39 scrolls at that time, you know. But anyway. But, you know, and so Daniel's reading in these, and he finds this passage. And it impressed him. And that's how it should be with us. Something from our daily reading should get us excited, and it should stick with us through the day. Then number seven, pray again, thanking God for speaking to you personally. Now again, every time we open this word, God is speaking. We understand that. But thank the Lord that He spoke to you personally and that you heard it, asking Him to help you apply this truth to your life and giving yourself anew to Him, that His will be done. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Why do we read the Bible? For knowledge's sake? Knowledge is good, and we should read the Bible for knowledge. But most importantly, we should read the Bible for application, for helping us draw closer to the Lord, to become more like the Lord, to become to obey the Lord's command, "Be ye holy, for I am holy," to be more Christ-like. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9. "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of men the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things we also speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Isn't that wonderful? You know, sometimes we share Scripture with people and they just don't understand it. Of course they don't understand it. They don't have the Holy Spirit. But friends, each one of us, if you're saved, you have the Spirit of God within you, who is the teacher of the Word of God. And if we are serious about it, He will teach us the deep things of God. Even things that are hard to understand. Study. You know, I have heard people say, I've read the Bible once, I understand it. Oh, I'm so glad. You know. And I just read today a testimony of George Mueller. And it said that he had read the Bible over 200 times. And they asked him, if you could do anything, what would you do? He said, I want to read the Bible more so I understand it more. 200 times. You know, that's a lot of times to read the Bible. And he still understood he didn't know it. My dear friend who's with the Lord now, Pastor James McCoy, pastor for over 70 years. One day I said to him, what are you doing for your devotions? And he said, oh, I'm doing Deuteronomy. He says, I realize I don't know enough about it. You know, 70 years a pastor and Christian longer than that and still approaches the Scriptures as a student. And that's what we have to do. There's always something to learn. Prepare your heart. A lot of what we talked about before these lessons have been the preparing of our heart for this time. And then this time comes and we sit down and we can even understand the deep things of God. The deep things of God. I'm not a fan of all things Matthew Henry, but Matthew Henry is a good commentary. I would not follow Matthew Henry's eschatology, but one thing he said about my favorite book in the Bible, the Song of Solomon, he says there's depths there that an elephant could swim. Spiritual depth, you know. There's a lot of that in the Bible. Isn't it wonderful that this same book is milk to a babe and strong meat to the mature and honey? How sweet it is for us. So do not leave the Word of God until God has spoken you to you and given you something to think about. Remember the last time we were together a couple of weeks ago? This takes time. We must find the time. It may require you to get up earlier. I don't recommend staying up later because staying up later usually means nodding off. Okay? But find the time. If you're retired, praise the Lord. You've got lots of time to study the Word. You know, it may require you turning off the TV, turning off the computer. You know, it may require you not reading certain books, but reading the Bible. But find the time. If you want to grow, find the time. I can honestly say this, and this is not an exaggeration, at least 75% of the counseling sessions I have, people come to me and they're not having their devotions, they're not praying, and they're not attending church. The three very basic, simple things that all of us can do. It's so simple, we teach our kids, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll what? Grow, grow, grow. Neglect your Bible, forget to pray, and you'll have to go to counseling. You know? But that's true. So don't leave the Word of God until He has spoken to you and given you something to think about. Look to the Holy Spirit to minister to your heart through the Word, not only as you read it, but throughout the day as you recall it and meditate it. Don't close the book and say, did that, and check it. You know, maybe use a 3x5 card. Write some things down. If your memory is not as good as it used to be, write down some thoughts on a 3x5 card and bring that out, at lunchtime and just, you know, oh, thank you, Lord, for and recall that. And that's a good thing to do. 3x5 cards fit nice in your pocket with your tracks you should be carrying. And there is no adequate substitute for daily Bible reading of the Scriptures. Look at Matthew 4:4. Two more verses to look at and we'll close. Matthew 4:4. There is no substitute. I'm not against people listening to messages, but that is not a substitute for your devotions. Okay? I'm not against people using little short devotional material, but that is not a substitute for your reading of the Bible. Not a substitute. Okay? You want to use certain devotionals, that's fine, but you have to be reading your Bible. And Matthew 4:4 says, and this is as Jesus is being tempted by the devil in the wilderness. He said, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In John 6:33. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 6, verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Most of the devotional material you read is the word of men. Very little, you know, they'll have you read a small passage. And again, maybe, you know, you use that. I'm not saying it's wrong to use that. But you have to let God also speak to you. And listen carefully. Listen with ears wide open, eyes wide open, heart wide open. And then listen and ask God to give you willing hands and feet to go and do His bidding. So I hope this has been helpful. Next week, Lord willing, we'll have a message on helping us to understand the Scriptures. Okay, it's a spiritual book, and natural man can't understand it. And we have the Spirit of God to help us, but we need to also understand it. So let's have a word of prayer together, and then we'll have a short time to pray together. Father,